acorns jumping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, furry as a mouse. It's a sweet nature, a sweet nature thing. It's a sweet nature, a sweet nature thing. It's a mighty fine,
mighty fine,
a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 167, Spring Equations. Sunday, April 23rd, 2017. I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. The Yarns at Yin Hu podcast has a Facebook page, and it's available on iTunes. Each week, I post show notes, photographs, and links to the things I'm talking about on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. This episode features the following segments: the back porch, the front porch, off the shelf, and gratitude journal. Hello, everyone, and welcome. I hope you are having a great week and a great day. I am concluding my 1 week spring break. It was actually a week and a day. It started on Good Friday this year. And this has been one of the most pleasant and productive spring breaks I've had in a long time. Since I work at a high school district and Samuel teaches college, we never have spring breaks that coincide. So it's never a good time to plan a vacation or anything like that. But this year, I was able to do a lot of gardening, a lot of crafting, visiting with family. We took a trip into New York this past Friday, visited the new location of the Whitney. I have not been to its new location in the Meatpacking District. We saw the biennial. I haven't been able to get in for the biennial in quite a few years. We walked on the High Line. We visited Murray's Cheese and bought some fabulous cheeses. And we had an amazing dinner at Decoy, which is a very small restaurant on Hudson Street that features Peking duck. And it was absolutely divine. It was a wonderful meal. So that was kind of a nice ending. And then this weekend, I'm just kind of getting back into this swing of things with catching up on some work before I head back to school tomorrow. So I'm happy to bring you this podcast this weekend and to catch you up on all the things that I've been working on. The back porch. This week I completed two summer tops, one knitted and one sewn. The first is my take on the silken straw summer sweater. This is a design put out by Pearl Soho, and Pearl Soho's patterns are available free on Ravelry or through their internet site. I used a very different yarn than was called for with this pattern, and so I was mindful of that and thinking about how to fit this sweater perfectly to me as I was knitting. I used Barocco Ultra Alpaca Fine and a US size 4 needle. This yarn is a wool nylon alpaca blend. And to me, it has a very linen-like quality to it. It's kind of stringy, but in that pleasant way that linen is stringy. And something about it makes me think that it will soften and just become much more pleasant and comfortable with increasing wear and washing. And what I wanted to create was something along the lines of a fitted scoop neck t-shirt, but in a knitted sweater. And I relied very heavily on some of the numbers that I used for the Bonnie sweater by Tin Can Knits that I knit this time last year. And I really liked some of the fit aspects of that sweater, but I wanted to improve on them. So overall, it turns out I really just used this silk and straw summer sweater for ideas in the knitting, and I kind of went my own way. I did keep very detailed pattern notes because I would like to knit this sweater again and again and again. And I think I can keep improving on it a little bit as I knit, but I just really liked the fit. I wore it last night. I like the fit. I like the comfort of it. And I think it's plain enough in its design that it can really be a wardrobe staple. I began with an I-cord cast on, and I'm not very satisfied with the quality of my I-cord cast on. It's a little bit loose around the edge. So the next time I knit this sweater, I will use a provisional cast on, and then I'll apply the I-cord at the end. I used 190 stitches as the beginning circumference because I knew that would work on a US size 4 with fingering weight yarn. But I wanted to add a little bit of structure, and so I created faux side seams by putting 3 purl stitches on each side of the garment. This pattern has a little bit of waist shaping, which I was excited about because the Bonnie did not. And I wanted to see if I could get a little more flattering fit with this sweater. So I did the decreases and then the increases. So decreasing towards the waist and then increasing for the bust, as suggested by the Pearl Soho pattern. And I just did those increases and decreases on either side of the 3 purl stitch side seam, and that worked very well. When it came to figuring out how many stitches to bind off for the underarm and then cast on for the sleeve cap, I took out my algebra skills and created some equations. For example, I had 190 stitches as my circumference, but the Pearl Soho pattern was recommending 220 for the smallest size. And in terms of the sleeve cap, the Pearl Soho pattern was recommending casting on 60 stitches for the sleeve cap. And I thought if I followed those directions, the sleeve cap might be too big. So I performed a simple equation. So 190 is to 220 as X is to 60. And I cross multiplied and divided, and I got 51.8. And so I cast on 52 stitches for my sleeve cap. This pattern utilizes a cable cast on for the sleeve cap. It is so polished and beautiful that I did not add any kind of an edging to the sleeve. I just left it as is. It looks fantastic. I did do some extra rounds, a little bit of short row shaping for the back neck, and another round of decreases at the neckline to create the kind of scoop neck and coverage that I wanted. I wanted it to cover a bra strap. I didn't want it to be a very wide boat neck can be super flattering, but then you need to think very carefully about what kind of bra you're going to wear. And I just wanted this to be more relaxed, like a t-shirt. When I make this again, I will do even more knitting around the neckline, even more rounds, and I think I will do a more aggressive short row shaping. I use German short rows, and I think I might turn the work every 3 stitches. Whereas for this pattern, I think I turned it every 4 or 5 stitches. So I would like a little bit of coverage in the back neck and then that scoop. I did not do any sort of binding off and back and forth for the scoop neckline. I think the way the whole pattern is being shaped, it creates a very flattering neckline without any sort of fancy binding off. So when I felt I had enough knitting, then I just did an I-cord bind off for the neckline and done. I'm very, very pleased. I don't think I've been this pleased with a top or a sweater so far than I am with this. And I think it's because I thought very carefully about what kind of shaping I wanted and what I wanted the ultimate garment to look like. I think also just gaining a little confidence with garment knitting and using a similar weight yarn and the same size needle helped me take a few more risks with the knitting. I might have felt more committed to following the pattern if I were using a different kind of yarn and a different needle size than I had already used. Once again, that's the Silken Straw Summer Sweater from Pearl Soho. I used Barocco Ultra Alpaca Fine and US size 4 needles. All of the details for my sweater are on my Ravelry page, and I will also include my measurements as well in case you're interested in following some of those directions. The second top I completed this week is a sewn garment, and I neglected to mention in my previous sewing segments that using the exam table paper is going very well. I think it's a great product for the price, which was $9.99 for a lifetime supply. I can't see ever running out of this roll of exam table paper. It's just strong enough to keep its shape after several uses, but it's lightweight and really easy to manipulate. It does bleed through if you use a Sharpie on top of this. There's kind of a laminate that's applied to one side of the paper. So I tend to trace with a pencil and then outline with a Sharpie for some of the pattern markings if I need to do that. The Willow Top is by Green Line Studio. It is quite a versatile pattern because there's a tank top and then there's also a dress, a skirt that you can attach to the tank top to create a little dress. So some different options with that and a pretty wide range of sizes. I used a piece of double gauze for the front of the top and some lightweight denim for the back. Both of these were sort of scrap pieces, and I didn't have a lot or a lot of choice how to situate the pattern piece on the fabric. There was pretty much one way it could go, and that was it. So to help me work with minimal amounts of fabric, I did use store-purchased bias tape instead of cutting my own, and I used that around the neckline and the armholes. This top has bust darts, and it has quite a wide folded hem. And the width at the bottom is quite a bit wider than a normal top, so that it has kind of an ease or a comfort factor to it. The double gauze I chose has, it's called backstitch, and it has a embroidery, a print reminiscent of embroidery stamped on the fabric in white. to me, it just begged for some actual embroidery. And so I had three colors that Colleen of Mulberry Hill Farm helped select for me. Each of these three colors was a very gentle color-changing yarn. Nothing drastic, but there were some interesting tonal qualities to this yarn. There was a purple-leaning brown, a white, well, I guess a cream with hints of green and beige. And then there was a yellow. This was probably the most drastic color change. It went from kind of a pale canary yellow through a very deep golden and then kind of a green color. And I just didn't have any big plan. I just thought of stitches and looked up some different ways of doing stitches as I went. And I just stitched over different parts of this printed pattern on the right shoulder and then around the neckline and a little bit down the center. I suppose I could, if I wanted to, keep embroidering on this top until I had the entire front covered with embroidery. But I'm really pleased with the way it worked up and the time and attention that I put into this. It's very subtle because the color of the fabric is a kind of muted taupe color. And then there's nothing really flashy about the colors I use to embroider it. It's subtle. But it means a lot to me. It feels very special. And I will be very proud to wear it. And of course, very careful to hand wash it. I had talked before about using a rather lightweight, non-fusible interfacing on the back of the fabric as I embroidered so that my stitches wouldn't pull and pucker the fabric. Standard practice is to cut away every bit of that interfacing when the embroidery is complete. This was nerve-wracking even to begin this process because I just felt like any second I could snip through my fabric or snip through the embroidery. So what I did instead was just to cut away all of the excess interfacing so that right now it's pretty much just behind the stitching that I did. And I washed it. It doesn't look stiff. It doesn't look like there's a board behind the fabric. And maybe I will work on gradually snipping away those little bits of interfacing. But for right now, I'm just going to leave it where it is. I think this is something you have to be wide awake and with a very steady hand to work on snipping that away. And I don't want to do anything to especially damage the fabric of the top. I could always re-embroider a little spot if I snip the embroidery thread, but the fabric, that would be a complete disaster. The front porch. I have a pattern printed and yarn wound up for my second summer top make-along cast on. This time I will be knitting Jasmine Tea. It's a pattern by Amanda Bell. It's available for purchase on Ravelry. And I will be blending my preferred stitch counts and needle size with Amanda Bell's directions for a two-color top. So this has the body knit in one color, and then another thinner yarn for a gorgeous lace top. And this also has the detail of some very tiny buttons along one shoulder. It just looks very, very beautiful. I will be using some special yarn to knit this pattern. I have two skeins of John Arbon Alpaca 2-3 Ply in Merlot. This is extremely fine yarn, And so I will be holding two strands double to knit the body of this sweater. I believe a US size 2 is called for, but I will be using US 4. And the same kind of waist shaping faux side seam that I used for my previous sweater, except this time I think I will begin with a 1x1 rib band for the waistline. For the gorgeous top of the sweater, I will be using some Devon Gray Wensleydale, also by John Arben. This is in a very fine. It says that it's fingering weight, but to me it seems like lace weight. And I think it will work up just beautifully in the lace design. So I am super optimistic about the sweater, very eager to cast it on and begin making progress. And I, with alpaca and this Wensleydale, I'm not sure that this will necessarily be a wonderful summer top. I'll have to see how it feels to wear it, maybe on a cool evening. I think this will also be a great top to wear around the holidays with black pants or a black skirt and this gorgeous deep red color and the silvery gray in the lace. I think it's has an elegance to it and something that is destined for special occasions. It's so much fun to take a look at the Ravelry thread for the summer top make along and see the progress that other knitters and crafters are making on their projects. Some people have taken out works in progress from way back and feel very motivated to complete them. Others are still mulling over pattern choices and which fabric to use. The thread is a great deal of fun, and I encourage you to join us. There's still plenty of time. This make along will go on until the first day of summer. You can knit, crochet, sew, embellish, upcycle. It's a great time to try something that is new and will be a nice addition to your upcoming seasonal wardrobe. Off the shelf. April is National Poetry Month, and I'm very excited for folks who have decided to work on memorizing a poem this month. And I have promised to give some tips for memorization of poetry during all the podcasts in the month of April. And this will be the last one. Next week, I travel to the Washington County Farm and Fiber Tour, and I will tell you all about that in my next podcast, and that will be the first week in May. So for my last set of tips for poem memorization, I thought I would talk about some things I'm considering because I feel a little bit stuck in memorizing the third and final stanza of Kindness by Naomi Shihab Nye. I feel as though the first stanza I memorized very easily. The second stanza is the shortest in the poem, so that wasn't too difficult, but the third is long, and there are some disparate thoughts to it, so it's not so easy just to follow a train of thought. So two final tips for memorization are these. One, it could be time for me to handwrite the poem into a notebook or onto some scrap paper. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of taking notes at school and then not even really needing to read over your notes because somehow through the act of writing them in your own handwriting, that information entered your brain and you attached the details to things you already knew. Handwriting a poem word by word, line by line, using punctuation and line breaks as the author used them, can be a good tool to help that information really enter your consciousness. So I might try that, maybe not with the whole poem, but particularly with that last tricky stanza. Another technique, this will depend on the rhythm of your poem and whether or not it's suitable for this kind of technique, but I find that walking with a poem, having a copy with me, looking at it as I walk, trying to time my steps, maybe slowing down my pace because I tend to be quite a fast walker, slowing down my pace and timing my steps to the rhythm of the heavy beats of the poem. And then continue walking, put the text away, see if I can recall it, recall as much as I can, and then take that poem back out again and try to remember the next few lines and so on and so forth. This can be very helpful. Robert Frost is said to have composed his poems by taking walks. And if you read a lot of Robert Frost, you can feel that slow, rhythmic walking pace to many of his poems. So that's something I could also try. It's a beautiful sunny day here in the Delaware Water Gap. It would be a perfect day for taking a poem on a walk. I know I said two suggestions, but I just thought of a third. This comes by way of one of my students. We have an AVID program at our school where students who will be first-generation college students get some extra attention and coaching and help with their high school studies. Basically, it's a program about learning how to be a better student. And the kids in that program are always encouraged in their metacognition. They're encouraged to think about the way they think and to use that information to help build skills where they need it. And one of the students in the program, Grace, told me that she has found really great success managing her very busy schedule. She's a gymnast with Olympic aspirations. She records herself reading her notes and then listens to them. She listens to them on the bus. She listens to them when she's doing warm-ups at the gym. She listens to them when she's doing cool down. She plays them at home when she's getting ready for bed, I suppose. She just does constant repetition. And so the final idea I have to share with you in terms of memorizing something is to use your phone and record yourself reading the poem out loud and then listen to it, just using straight up repetition as a method for memorization. Some poetry sites also have audio files of poets reading their poems. I don't know if they're all available for download, but they're often very short. So even just holding your phone up to your computer and recording the author's voice, sometimes we don't like to listen to our own voice over and over, but just record that author reading their own work and then play it back again and again as a tool for memorization. Gratitude Journal. This week I found out that I am the recipient of a Sheepy Award. Sheepy Awards are given by Candy of the Pause for Stitches podcast. She and her husband Jamie create these wonderful Sheepy Awards in wood. And this past week, because it was Candy's anniversary episode, she awarded a little flock of sheepies. And I am in very good company as Amy Beth, the fat squirrel, also received a sheepie in episode 19 of the Pause for Stitches podcast. So I thought I'd take this moment in Gratitude Journal to thank Candy for her friendship. We know each other personally, and we will be reconnecting at the Farm and Fiber Tour this coming weekend. So I'm really eager to see Candy. She said she'll have my sheepie. I hope I get the one that Addie licked on your podcast, Candy. I hope you save that one for me because I think it will be special. And I just want to acknowledge some of the things that she said about this podcast. There's just really nothing better than someone recognizing you for the things that you think are important. And in praising the Yarns at Yinhu podcast, Candy mentioned that she listens with Jamie, which is great. And I've heard a lot of listeners say that they listen with a spouse or a significant other and that they really enjoy the food and cooking aspect of the podcast. And that's something they enjoy listening to together. When I began the Yarns at Yinhu podcast, I had some concerns at first about blending such different things as knitting and other fiber arts with cooking. And I had this notion of a post-apocalyptic skill set to bring it all together. But still, sometimes people find those things misplaced. Over the years, I'm very glad that I've stuck with that gut instinct to bring things that I really care about together and hope that by sharing them, I will find listeners who also care about those same things. So I really appreciate Candy mentioning that she liked the cooking. She liked that almost every time she has the podcast on, she learns something. And she really appreciated the consistency. I would never be able to commit to an every single week podcast. And I don't want to ever spend my time apologizing for why I haven't put out an episode or this or that. I do this with my own time and with my own funds. And so I don't feel apologetic about how frequently the podcast comes out. But I do try to put out 3 episodes per month, and I try to be as consistent as possible because I appreciate that with the podcasts I listen to. And with a busy life and a full-time job, that is very challenging. And so it's something I'm proud of doing, and I'm really glad that Candy also mentioned that. It felt really good to be recognized. Thank you so much, Candy and Jamie, for the Sheepy Award. I look forward to receiving it, and I'm very grateful for your recognition.
Acorns jumping off my Chinese house. 2 ducks in my spyglass. Furry as a mouse. It's a sweet nature thing. It's a sweet nature thing. It's a mighty fine, mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine, mighty fine nature thing. Leaves lay down like a lady, bends like an elbow, turning stone to sand. It's a sweet nature, sweet nature thing. It's a sweet nature, a sweet nature thing. It's a mighty fine, a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine, a mighty fine nature thing. Sweet nature thing. sweet nature play. It's a mighty fine,
mighty fine,
a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine,
mighty fine,
a mighty fine nature thing. Two stumps out there stumping as a chipmunk on the lawn. Six turkeys up in munching like fat hogs. It's a sweet nature,
a
sweet nature thing. It's a sweet nature,
a
sweet nature thing. It's a mighty fine. It's a mighty fine,
mighty fine,
a mighty fine nature thing. Smile, jump in a river naked and hike a country mile.